Welcome to the ICANN podcast, the podcast of the Indiana Catholic Conference. The Indiana Catholic Conference is the official public policy voice of the Catholic bishops of Indiana. Right. Welcome back to the ICANN podcast. This is Alexander.
And Angela is still here again.
And it's been yet another week. We took a little break last week, and here we are back recording our podcast. And it's been a busy week at the in session, and we're happy to see.
Not so much for us.
Yeah, we saw some movement on the age verification bill for pornography sites, as well as the contraception bill that we oppose. Those aren't going to be the topic.
Disaster relief, 190.
Disaster relief, thank you. Also moving along, and we're happy to see that. So that's just a quick overview of some of the movement. But on our podcast this week, we want to talk about something that hasn't moved, and you've heard us talk about this before. And it deals with our immigration policy as a whole, but more so for Indiana, it's the question of driving cards. And Angela, for somebody who's tuning in for the first time who hasn't been following the ICC's work in the past, can you kind of talk through what that policy proposes and like roughly how long have we been trying to advance that? And I don't know, is there any hope for that in future years?
Oh my goodness, that's a lot. Okay, the driving card. I started with the ICC in 2019, and we were working on it back then. But back then, it didn't even get a hearing. The best we got was a press conference with the lawmakers who were authoring or sponsoring it, speaking on why it would be important to even have a hearing in committee. Mm-hmm. So we have advanced. There has been a hearing. The driving card would allow those who do not have verified legal status to take a driving test, get a driving card, show that they have financial responsibility, and more importantly, show that they know how to actually operate an automobile. There are many people who feel really passionate about this on both sides. You might hear people say, well, if they don't have legal status, it's because, you know, they didn't come here the right way, and why should they get, you know, this benefit? Well, that's painting with a very broad brush. There are a lot of people who are in different stages of citizenship or having their asylum status approved. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of bureaucracy. Yeah. And it's a lengthy process. And so is it really fair for those people to be caught in this kind of twilight zone area? Also, we've not addressed, you know, Dreamers or DACA. You know, young people who had no say when they came and now they're of legal age to drive, but again, don't have the legal status and they had no control. And so is it fair to stop their development as a young adult being able to get from point A to point B because of a decision their parents made when by all accounts they're doing all the things, you know, that a productive citizen, going to school, getting a job, you know, contributing. So there are a lot of different variables within that. Without a doubt, there are some people who, because of circumstances, left their country and did not enter through the proper channels. But people also have to remember, most people do not leave home because they want to. They leave home because they have to, because they can't provide for their families, they fear for their safety, that the situation has gotten untenable. A lot of people also forget, and particularly if we're talking about people who come from Latin or South America, a lot of the situations down there, the United States help make those situations untenable. And so the driving card would allow people who are here who cannot prove their legal status for a variety of different reasons to drive safely. In states where they've enacted that, it's become a public safety issue and a benefit to public safety. Mm-hmm. You don't have hit and runs. You know that the people who are driving know how to drive. You know that they're financially responsible. For some states, it's been a boon. financially, because while I just renewed my driver's license, it was $16 to do it online. Mm-hmm. To get a driving card, it would be somewhere between $250 and $300.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a short history of what's happened and why it's important.
Mm-hmm. So it's not really the public that's paying for it, right? I think that may be a question on some people's minds who are more hesitant about this mm-hmm. policy, is that it's not taxpayers then paying for people to be allowed to drive, but rather, I mean, they're paying into this. And something else is we're not advocating that, say, criminals should be allowed to drive, recognizing that the people who are going to be seeking the ability to drive legally, despite whatever their immigration status is, and a regular status, however you want to say that, they're going to be the ones who really want to be productive. They want to contribute to society. They want to get their kids to school. They want to get their groceries.
They want to go to work.
They want to
go to church.
Yeah.
Go to the doctor's office. Mm-hmm. All the things that all of us do with, you know, having to give a second thought about it.
Yeah. You want to talk a little bit, actually, I can talk a little bit about the Day of Advocacy in January, because a number of the Spanish-speaking parishes, Catholic parishes around Indiana, organized and brought parishioners, both those who know people who have an irregular immigration status and would really benefit from the cards, or the people who would benefit themselves. And so it was an extremely beautiful gathering of our parish leaders and diocesan staff. And I had the opportunity to go down with them and accompany them, and so that they could share some of the stories that they have heard in their communities and how this would be beneficial for them, to allow them to lead, to live a dignified life, to be able to drive safely, to be trained. To do that without having to fear. And so the reason I think the church comes back to this and says this is a good thing is because the church wants everybody to have access to the goods of a dignified life. And here in Indiana, especially, I mean, we don't have vast networks of public transportation. Like, I don't know if we could make the same argument necessarily if we were in Europe or some city that was very well connected, where you don't need a car to access all the goods of life. I think the reality in Indiana, in 98% of Indiana, is that you really do. We haven't really designed our infrastructure to be able to get around feasibly in any other way. And so that's why I think we say this is something that we know is a necessary thing to have in order to access all the goods of life.
And on public
basic goods, right? Basic goods.
And on public safety, I think we've mentioned before, in states that have enacted it, hit and runs have gone down. And that's hit and runs on both sides. If someone doesn't have a driver's license and they get in an accident, they may be scared to stay on the scene. But states have also reported that there have been hit and runs where people who do have license have hit someone that they presume doesn't have a license, and they feel like, oh, I can't get in trouble because that other person didn't have a driver's license. And so people have been aggressive. Someone with a license hitting someone they think is undocumented and then fleeing the scene because they feel like there's not going to be any recourse.
Right.
So it's benefited those states both ways from a public safety standpoint.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's why we've seen some police and sheriffs say that they think this is a good idea too.
Law enforcement from the northern part of the state to the southern part of the state have been supportive of this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's something that the bishops want to continue to highlight and continue to grow both grassroots and grass tops support for. And, you know, it's something that we'll continue to work on. And so we'd ask for your support. We have an action alert out. And even at this point in the session where the bills the driving car bills have not advanced in the process and won't be going anywhere feasibly this session, it can still be something that we bring to our lawmakers' attention.
Yeah. Like I said, the dead bill might not always be dead. If somebody really wants to do something with it, they find a way to put it someplace else.
Yeah. Another thing that we'll talk about in our last minute here is a law this year. This would be Senate Bill 181, that it goes back to a 2011 law that the Catholic Conference opposed, and it was basically the state prohibiting cities from doing any sort of sanctuary policies.
And when we say sanctuary, mm-hmm. we're talking about giving aid or comfort to people with undocumented status.
Mm-hmm. And something that I have found about the concept of sanctuary is it's a very old legal concept. And the church at one point in history, especially in the Middle Ages, was very involved with offering sanctuary to anyone who was fleeing from civil law. And how you could come, and this was something that was widely recognized by society, you could come to a church if you had just killed somebody, and that's the extreme example, and you're fleeing from the law, and you recognize the church's spiritual authority and say, I need mercy, I need help to protect myself from the state because I am actually sorry for this, as a way of people basically fleeing to the church to avoid the death penalty. And not to say that that's kind of an exact comparison to the sanctuary of today, but I think there's some interesting parallel there in how the church continues to play a role of offering sanctuary to people who are fleeing. And I think that continues to be the case with migrants today. And we see a lot of heated political conversation around this, and especially in Texas is kind of the front lines of a lot of this right now. But I go back to that concept of sanctuary, and I think it's a very radical witness that the church offers as a refuge, and I think a refuge for all of us. All of us who are sinners, but also anyone who needs the church's protection. So, anyway, I offer that because the bill this year focuses on allowing the Attorney General instead of private citizens to sue if a city has some kind of sanctuary ordinance. So I think it's an opportunity for us to remind our legislators of what is our calling as Christians. How are we meant to see the migrant, the immigrant?
Well, and this is it brings up the issue of subsidiarity.
Yeah.
Because there are some cities within the state, Gary was one, and I can't think of the other one off the top of my head, that had a proclamation that announced that they viewed themselves as sanctuary cities. And so if a city, through their, their duly elected mayor or their city council, has decided that they're going to do this, offer aid and comfort to those who need it, then if you believe in subsidiarity, then should the Attorney General sitting in the state capitol make a determination that what the city has decided to do is not appropriate? And so that's a question that I think people, should grapple with.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So I think that's all we have for this week on our podcast, but we look forward to seeing you back with us next week for the ICANN podcast. Thank you as always for listening, and God bless.